are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina, and globally at WPVMFM.org.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Senator, and this is Listen and Be Heard.
Listen and be heard, because your voice matters, but it also matters to grow yourself, and that's where listening comes in. You learn a lot from, you learn more from your ears, actually, than you do by talking about something. So definitely listen and be heard at the same time. And that's a really, really powerful name for a show. So thank you so much for, you know, coining that term.
Like, I said, gosh, I said, my man has a trilogy. Because whenever I think of trilogy, you know, I'm thinking Ali Frazier, Graziano Zale, Ward Dotti. You know, I'm thinking, you know, like in threes, right? And I say, oh, my man here, you know, he has his own threes. So, hey,
that's awesome. I love that song.
And then there's your Rima, La Negra de Almania. Mientras yo leo mi mar. Bañado en sudor pureño. ¿Qué hará? ¿Qué hará? Tal vez por su sangre amado, doliente, suspirará. O tal vez me recuerda. Llora, llora. Las hembras son como todo. En esta tierra desgraciada, con arte se saca. Hay pez del mar, del mar. Con arte se ablanda.
I write, I teach.
Welcome back to the Audio Garden, my friends. It's so good to be here with you, as always. And today, I'm going to be welcoming to the Audio Garden, Shamia Chaudhry from Delhi, India, and she'll be telling us about the many things that she is involved in poetically wise over there. Later in the hour, we will hear from my colleague and co-producer, Hernan Ramiro Rodriguez Sierra. And he'll be bringing us some new music. And who knows what else might happen. But we'll start with a poem from Shamia.
Do you wake before the sun? Those with hunger in the belly know how to brave the dark. For many years you have circled the earth. So many suns have risen and set since then. Sometimes you touch a flower and ask if your skin is a spacesuit. When your mother opened the door to this life, you were coming from another one. So what if you can't remember all those lives before? It must have been a good party if the hangover passes by noon. But for living so long, now you doubt and you question everything. But this is true. All living things are radiating from within. Their light is electric. See the cells communicating, stars burning, energy pulsing, feet thudding to the beat of Shiva's universal drum. You are comfortable in most kinds of intimacy. But when the light is woven like a net across all bodies, this intimacy is no secret, nor hidden in the shadow. I can hear the frequency of your silence, privacy and illusion to protect the mind. We've known each other before. Only our memory fades us. We've been here before.
I'm so happy to welcome Shamia Chaudhry to the Audio Garden here on the Listen and Be Heard Hour. Shamia, you're joining me all the way from Delhi, India. I met you before when you organized the World Poetry Project that you invited me to participate in. That came out of World Poetry Slam. So let's go back to 2013. when you started World Poetry Slam and what your motivations were and what's happened in those 12 years?
I think 12 years is a cycle that's according to the Chinese horoscope. Just to, you know, thank you for offering me the stage and for having this conversation with me. I'm so glad to be here. I'm really excited about it.
I have to say, I'm really glad to return the favor because it was such a pleasure to actually be able to participate in the World Poetry Project. But let's start with the Delhi Poetry Slam.
Absolutely. So Delhi Poetry Slam started in December 2013. So that's exactly 12 years. It started when I just graduated from high school. So there was a small period of time before I joined college. It was then when I started, you know, exploring more of what I could actually do as an adult. One of the things I was really interested in was literature and poetry. So I wanted to, you know, read out my poetry, but most of the sessions that happened in Delhi were less theatrical and they were more about established poets reading out their stuff in very prominent places, five-star luxury hotels, places like those. Poetry for me was more something that could, you know, relate to anyone. Someone doesn't have to be from a literary background in order to understand poetry, in order to relate to it, because it's very emotional. So that's how Delhi Poetry Slam started, you know, with that.
You called it a slam.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That was about 12 years ago.
Yes.
How did you become familiar with that term?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when slam started way previously. Some say it started in Chicago, some say New York. But so how did it get to you in Delhi and why was that a term you wanted to use?
I think that's a great question. I did do my research into, you know, where slam started. And I think we can all agree that, you know, New York had like a huge part to play in the movement. So while I was traveling to my sister's place in Canada, so she happened to be studying in Canada at the time. And I was in Vancouver. I happened to visit Vancouver Poetry Slam. And that's where I actually learned, you know, what slam is really about. And more than, you know, the competitive framework, what stood out to me was how honest the poets could be on stage and how they could like talk about things that you wouldn't normally acknowledge in, you know, daily life and everyday society. And at that point, particularly, it was quite liberating for me to actually listen to issues that were presented by the poets, because India was even more regressive. Now we've had some changes in terms of people who have like different beliefs are accepted more. But at that point, it was even more regressive than it is today. So things like gay rights, being a transgender would have been like really frowned upon in 2013 in India. But there has been, you know, a lot of legal acceptance and a lot of activism around those things. So now we can talk more about those issues. So that's one of the things that stood out to me at Vancouver Poetry Slam. And I had been to a few sessions while I was there. They were hosting this weekly night. I was there at a few sessions. And when I came back to India, I was like, why not do something like that in Delhi? The timing was good because, you know, I managed to convince some youth to join me and we did our first shows and the movement just started.
I'm skipping around here a bit, but I participated in the World Poetry Project back, I think it was in the spring. And you talked a lot about how to actually be a professional poet, which I found a very interesting approach to take. Here in America, it's very difficult to be a professional poet. Most poets have some other kind of job. Either they teach or they just have what we call a day job. Tell me a little about how you feel about that and how that goes in Delhi for you when you're, you know, trying to encourage people to be poets and possibly even make money being a poet.
Thank you for bringing that up, Martha. Here, I would like to just add that the Indian context is slightly different from the Western context, where the pressures around finances can even be more than what it is in India. So in India, most like even when you, you know, when you turn 18 or when you get through college, your parents are supporting you through it. So you do not really have the kind of financial pressures that would be there in the West. So there is like that kind of a safety net to experiment with what you want to do in your career. And you don't just really need to just sign up for a job that pays the bills. Although a lot of people in India also, like, we're a very safe society. We don't take risks at all. Those kind of pressures don't exist. There is that leeway that in for the younger generations to experiment, like, with what career we choose, unlike, you know, the older generations who all went into medical science or engineering or professions that were more stable, professions that would make sure that, you know, you get a monthly income and you're secure. So, you know, coming from this generation, which has that safety net offered by, you know, parents, of course, but also that mindset that we want to do something a little different than the parents' generation. Poetry is something that can be done professionally, and it has almost the same rules as any other profession that you would do freelancing, whether it is graphic design or whether it is, let's say, consultancy. And that's, you know, developing your own personal brand. And a lot of poets don't really know how to do that. I see that you are doing that amazing. You know, you're doing amazing with this podcast, and your website is super organized. So you already have a personal brand. But a lot of poets just stay on the creative side and they don't really monetize themselves. They don't know how to represent themselves. So building a personal brand allows for poetry to be a profession. And that's what I try coaching the youth on, that if you do go into a creative profession, you need to know how to represent yourself online so that, you know, people can relate to your work. They can donate in case, you know, they feel like supporting your work. They can buy maybe a book, an album, attend your workshops. So all of that is possible if you know who your audience is and develop a community online.
I was looking at the Delhi Poetry Slam website, of course. I have to return the compliment, but I was also looking at how you've developed as an individual poet, and you've done some very interesting research and projects that I'd like to give you a few minutes to talk about.
I did experiment with coding, and I developed a social networking website for poets to share their works. It was called Poem Pajama. It was a time when, you know, a lot of people in India were looking for ways to express themselves, particularly, you know, in a space which could relate to their sentiments. So there were websites, the famous poetry websites, but though we do speak English, but the way we write in English is very different because of our cultural experiences. So they were looking for, you know, a portal which would be India specific. So I developed that particular website for poets to share their works, and there were so many comments on each and every poem, and it was a great place to get to have a community of poets who talk about important things that are happening in their lives, and they can connect with each other outside, you know, going to physical events. Because again, you know, the online space is, it's just so vast, you know, it doesn't have any limitations. You don't have to drive to it. You just need an internet connection. So it was a great way to mobilize youth who's living in small towns or villages and they don't have an environment to speak up. So that's what we did with the social networking website. That was an experiment that I undertook in 2017. It was very successful, but I'm not a coder. I don't come from that background. So there were a lot of spam comments and then like robot accounts and things like that, technical stuff that I couldn't take care of. So eventually we did, you know, call that off and move to other projects.
You have a very entrepreneurial spirit, I think, as a poet. And you're an organizer, as am I, which I really appreciate because it's part of being a part of this community. But some people have that in them. I could call you a producer. Maybe. But so how do you feel about me describing you that way?
You've understood me a lot better than a lot of people who have worked with in the past have. Yeah, an organizer is like an actual profession, you know. It is not just like you don't just show up to an event without having done anything. And a lot of, you know, youth especially who come to spoken word events, they're like, oh, you know, this must be your hobby. This must be like the part-time thing you do, because they just can't believe how much time and effort it actually takes to put up an event, you know, sell tickets, to get maybe some kind of media coverage, or just to make sure that, you know, the small things are taken care of, refreshments, things like that. Absolutely, I agree with what you said. I am a producer. And even, you know, the World Poetry Project was something that, you know, I hadn't attempted in the past, but yes, it did happen because of all the experience that I had interacting with poets from different countries, both in Asia and, you know, the US, as well as Europe, where there is this commonality with poets. You know, I think we're very sensitive people. We also tend to, like, think about, you know, the deeper emotional nuances of living in the abstract term. You know, just connecting with poets from around the world, it just felt to me like something that would, you know, deepen this human connection. And that is one of the reasons that, you know, World Poetry Project was a very special thing for me. I think we did 3 days and all of them, like, ran really late into the night in India. But it was just something that propelled me into understanding just how close we are, even though we may be in different continents. And we did compile a book. So we have, like, poems published from the Indian poets as well as the poets who joined us from different parts of the world. Yeah, it was just great experience having you there as well. I related a lot with your work and you were so enthusiastic to, you know, join in. So thank you for, you know, showing trust in, you know, the work that I'm doing here.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by the Listen and Be Heard Network, which is a project of Sound System Culture, Inc. Our programs are free and they are commercial free. If you would like to donate to the cost of production, please visit us at listenandbeheard.net or soundsystemculture.world to make your tax-deductible donation. We're going to listen to a little more of Shaumya's poetry, and then we will return with a little bit more conversation.
Remember, as kids, we were often asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? A doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, maybe a police officer. I want to be different, I say. I want to conquer my fear of being stuck in this town forever where we're forgotten to take risks and live by a one-size-fits-all rulebook. Education, occupation, marriage, children, debts and bills, the list goes on and on. I want to be an artist. Like a toddler reaching out to unfamiliar objects, I want to explore the world through my words. I want to hear my voice resounding from a hilltop, touching trees, rivers, and rocks. I won't be the one staring at a computer screen in an office cubicle, swallowed by a sea of Microsoft Excel sheets to earn a monthly paycheck. For the gift of security, will I have to sacrifice my hunger of the unknown? My mother once told me a life is wasted in the absence of a dream. If money prevents my feet to embark on a calling, let me be without any, for then I may have nothing to lose. I want to be an artist. I want to write, paint, or sing, and learn the language of birds and beasts. I want to live without fear. This is true freedom. There's a magnetic force of the gods in all dangerous things. I want to surrender to the dream, wherever it may take me. And dream I will and dream I have, until the dream becomes my spirit on display, like a big sharing plate of curry and naan, which you may eat from when you're hungry. Savor me. Fill your stomach with my offering of truth. Drink from me when your throat is parched, my friend. I'll become a waterfall for you, dripping into your lips and tongue slowly, rushing into your chest where your heartbeat rests, faint like a murmur. Can you hear me there? Make no mistake. My art is the bridge between seeing and feeling, between waking and dreaming, between being and non-being, between you and me. You and me closer with each and every word. The friction of syllables against each other, the gravity of nouns and verbs, the playful mixing of sounds and poetry brings us so close, we almost touch and collide like atoms, exploding into heat, light, and life. And a new universe is born. I want to be an artist, shamelessly, outrageously, disagreeably, always will and always have. As my voice emerges from my throat and travels the room across to you with a pinch of shakiness, I hope you'll accept my sincere gift of a poem and make it your own. publishing, I think, is something that definitely helps archive what we do. Spoken word poetry events, a lot of documenting that event happens in the form of video. So we don't normally, you know, publish that, but we do, you know, upload it on a YouTube channel. But when we have like an event which is for poets who normally, you know, write poetry. So the thing is, when we're writing poetry and when we're performing poetry, those are very different, you know. Mm-hmm. Spoken word poetry is quite conversational, but written poetry should be read. If you've written that specially for a reader, then you're expecting them to, you know, go over it a few times to fully understand where that poem stands. So that's, you know, one of the reasons that we published, you know, the works of the poets at World Poetry Project. And also because, you know, as humans, we have this very, very natural need to document our lives, to archive them, because if you don't do that, then there is a risk, especially for, you know, poets who are not extremely organized with their work, that they may even, you know, lose poetry. So I find publishing is a great way to document your journey, even more than whether it reaches the right reader, the right audience. That's definitely, you know, the second step. But the first step is being more aware of yourself and thinking of yourself to have that self-worth, to actually, you know, publish your own book, to document that. And to be like, hey, I created this, you know, this is mine. That's definitely, you know, one of the reasons I think publishing is really important.
Do you have books published in India of your own personal work?
I do have like a poetry published in anthologies. So, you know, three poems or four poems along mm-hmm. with other poets that I've worked with. But I haven't published my own book of poetry, primarily because I think I'm too self-critical. I'm always, you know, waiting to get like the right kind of poems to put together. But it's definitely something that I need to work on. I need to publish my own book of poetry.
How would you like people to find out more about you? I went to DelhiPoetrySlam.com. I assume that that's one way.
I am on LinkedIn. I have just started blogging more. One of the projects that I recently started in Delhi is a community space for women and young girls, especially, to learn entrepreneurship. So we did a bit of talking during the World Poetry Project, as you mentioned, and we spoke on, you know, entrepreneurship and personal branding and digital skills. You know, those are the kind of topics that we teach at the community space. So I have, you know, started blogging about, you know, what we do at the community space, as well as I post my poems once in a while on LinkedIn. So that's one of the ways to connect with me. You'll have to just look me up and you'll definitely find, you know, stuff that I'm posting almost on a daily basis.
So that's Shamya, which is S-A-U-M-Y-A. And
yes, that's
Chaudhry
right.
Is C-H-O-U-D-H-U-R-Y.
We do have, you know, some online programs, but our heart is always invested with, you know, doing things physically. So we do a lot of collaborations with universities and colleges, as well as, you know, at our space in Central Delhi, Two Road Studio. We do have like open mics, as well as, gatherings where, you know, you can come around and have like some tea or coffee and talk to each other and share your poetry. So that kind of stuff. So, yeah. It is definitely, you know, something that we do almost twice a month.
Well, thank you, Shamya Chaudhry, for joining me here on Listen and Be Heard in the Audio Garden. I want to thank you so much for your time. Once again, people can visit you at Delhi Poetry Slam, or they can look for you on LinkedIn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Martha. Have a great day.
You too.
Once it's heard, it can't be unheard. Once it's published, it's not going to be unpublished. Once you read the poem, you can't unread it. No matter how an individual may try to push it to the side, forget about it, it's still in there. And it's the words, the meaning, the feelings behind it are taking root in their psyche, and they can't get rid of it.
The governments in different parts of the world have become less democratic, and there is, you know, a curtailing of freedom of speech and expression even in India. There has been a lot of censorship for the last 10 years, even more than there has been ever in the past. But one of the things about, you know, Indian society is that we've always been, you know, very flourishing ground for different ideas. So even if, you know, certain books get censored, there is almost a culture, you know, because people talk a lot with each other, you know, while having tea. You know, tea is like this kind of a social experience where you can just go to a tea stall and you can, you know, stand around, talk about politics. So people discuss ideas, and we've just, you know, historically been a place where different religions flourish, different ideas flourish. So even though, you know, there has definitely been a lot of censorship on TV, so with the news or what we watch, as well as with books. However, there has, you know, there is that space which is not, you know, that formal space where people are still talking about things that, you know, they don't want us to talk about. And there's also, you know, those kind of underground spaces like comedy where people will just hint at something, you know, so you're not talking about it, but it's obvious enough what it implies.
Through my mother, which still, and even though she would have you know nothing about me and never told me my story, except that she would have me know I took too long to arrive. And she survived, but I killed her love for me. Now there's an origin story, but her mother's mothers came from Friesland, I think. And because her hair, my mother's hair, is platinum, and her eyebrows too,
listen, be
I
heard.
Prefer to think
what comes
we go
up for
all
me
the
from
way
that
back
is
to the original Frisai,
part of me learning to be a better listener of others is learning to listen to myself.
There. And because she comes,
the,
I come, we
the
come
miracle
from
of
the
this
Western
moment.
Frisians on
and
the now
by
Dutch
recognizing
side.
That
and so
myself,
I imagine
that
my
all
foremother telling me a
all the conditions we have right now to be happy.
We
should share them together.
The sea, mermaids weepy, singing Zion songs that were never meant to be construed as an invitation to anything, but an origin story of the soul where it is mostly cold and white and bright.
Listen and be heard, because you can and must make a difference for the better in this world.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour. I'm Martha Senator, your host and guide in the Audio Garden. And we're just approaching the garden gate at the half hour of this show. I want to thank Soumya Chaudhry once again for being my guest, host of the Delhi Poetry Slam, and many other things. I really do encourage you to go online and discover her, or go there in person if you happen to be in Delhi. We could be anywhere here in the Audio Garden. And coming up, Brother Ernan is going to share some new music with us that you can't find anywhere else, because it's really not available anywhere else. So I hope that you want to stick around to hear that, let go of the words for a little while and get into the rhythms and the groove of life and just accept the strife as part of being alive. And somehow we will all survive this together. The Listen and Be Heard Hour and Beyond Borders are both produced by the Listen and Be Heard Network, which makes the shows available as podcasts that are available pretty much anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts. We prefer for you to come straight to listenandbeheard.net and to sign our email list while you're here, so that you can get some information about other activities and upcoming guests. We promise we won't take any information on you. We don't have any algorithms working in the background. You're not going to hear any commercials. So come on and join us. We also make this show available for free to community broadcast radio stations around the country through the Pacifica Affiliate Network. So thank you for listening. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for considering making a contribution, which you can do also at listenandbeheard.net. Please stick around. Listen to the sounds of the Audio Garden. and we'll meet you on the other side of the bridge in about a minute.
This is Hernán Ramiro Rodríguez Sierra, or Hernán, formerly known as Jay Rodríguez, and we have an amazing lineup of music for you. First thing I'm going to play for you is called Juan Chin Candela in El Rey del Swing, dedicated to my uncle, Juan Joe Candela, Johnny Fire. And it features Hindustani vocalist Falu Guni Shah, Ruben Rodríguez on bass, Angie Sarasa on drums, Krista Burge on percussion, Bill Ware on vibraphones, Pablo Vergara on piano, myself on keys, and all woodwinds, including piccolo, very rare. It's off to sizzle. Right after that, I will be playing Eddie Harris, a very rare recording of Eddie Harris, live from the New Morning. And it was Eddie Harris, tenor saxophone, reed trumpet, and piano and voice, and Ralph Armstrong on bass, and Sherman Ferguson on drums. Totally influenced the track that you heard, Juan Chin Candelín, where I'm using a harmonizer on my bass clarinet and horns and piccolo flute. I produced that for Teruo Nakamura, and it's out on Pony Cannon Records. That's only a Japanese release. I own it. I got to put it out. Support. Support me, Sound System Culture. Support Martha Senator and Listen and Be Heard Network. You won't hear any of these works anywhere except on our non-commercial radio broadcast. All right? Peace out. Enjoy. Hernán Ramiro, peace out.
Thank you.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by the Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture, Inc. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net, where you will find our complete archives. My name is Martha Senator. Coming up, we're going to hear from Seth Donnelly, an organizer of Taxpayers Against Genocide, who we're featuring right now on our sister show, Beyond Borders. We'll also hear a little more poetry from Soumya Chaudhry and a little bit from our guest next week, Tony Cranston. If you would like to be heard on this show, please submit at listenandbeheard.net.
Even within the quote-unquote liberal Bay Area of California, where I taught in public school, the constraints are still very real. That it's permissible to raise questions about particular officials or particular administrations, but a more deeper interrogation of the nature of the U.S. system, the civics, the system of power, or the nature of capitalism, because I also taught economics for economic civics in U.S. history, that there's certain sort of invisible but understood boundaries you don't cross as a teacher. If you cross them, you start raising questions about capitalism or about, is the U.S. really democratic after all, as opposed to just a flawed system, but is it actually democracy in the first place? Then the educator who does that can be viewed as being too quote-unquote political, even if it's done in the most dialogical, participatory manner with the students. So that's hegemony, right? Like there's an ideological set of assumptions that the U.S. is a flawed democracy, that capitalism is the best of all possible economic systems, and that U.S. history is linear, this march of this flawed democracy.
Is what I get, what I am getting, me. who can't see crisp lines, whose mind is defined by my headache, by my aching thoughts, by my memories that have no end or beginning. Without a beginning, there is no end. Not even a bend in the road, just a void seen through artificial eyes, memorized by people who aren't me, just homogenized.
I think listening in New York can be both a literary thing, but it's also about relationships. I feel absolutely alone when I hear the hawk living with me, and they cannot hear others.
So the power to hear and to listen is fundamental in being. Where do forward I intimate begin with someone else? Why do right? I want
and
to
I think intimacy is the also the key to literature.
Story. If I because only know the heart Eve, can I make up someone else who prays to a mother of all? Inanna, my Venus, our Venus of Willendorf, with her original name, origin of my matrilineal line, defining how my mind minds its business, the way I understand the word today.
I'm going to do just one more poem, and it's titled Escapism. When a poem is half written and half torn, as a word unsaid or a promise undone, does it feel that whatever is discarded comes back later as a ghost? Only this time, pounding at my door on a late winter in evening, soliciting what I owe. Our debt to the past grows as we get older. Enough goodbyes, abrupt departures, leaving and rushing to airports, tainted memories of a suitcase lost, wallet stolen, missed calls from parents, the photo on my desktop of a hometown that has stood still in time. I have moved on. It takes years of practicing following floor lights to the nearest emergency exit, and then I might nearly escape everything that could ever hurt me. So when a thought digresses, I can afford tossing an unfinished poem
Robin
in the
Williamson,
dustbin.
And I interviewed him in a theatre in Northumberland. And after his show, he was now a storyteller. I was a nothing by this time. I can't sing, I couldn't dance, I can't play a musical instrument. And I was a nothing, but on the magazine side, I was surrounded by musicians and artists and dancers and painters and singers and all kinds of people. I couldn't do any of those things. But I saw his show where he played a harp and he told stories and he sang a couple of songs and played more harp and told these stories. And afterwards in the theater in the front row, he said, when he tells a story, it's his story. But then after hearing it, if I was to go off and tell it with my tone of voice,
admitting it.
Maybe something about it.
I am a willful forgetter. I've taken this step many times. My bones are inclined to forget. The crick in my neck, the dull ache in my wrist. It should be obvious how they got this way. It is obvious. Somewhere in the recesses, Black Drongo, Common Kingfisher, I summon memories like birds. I assign them colors. If I admire the way they swoop and soar, dive and catch, if I separate myself from them, make them pretty things with wings, things outside myself, things that sing, things that eat the bugs that plague me. I can both remember them and send them scattering. Kite, cormorant, heron, the color of a pale amethyst. If I think of them this way, the way they move is not frightening. The way they plunge and peck, the way they persist, buoyed by a gust I cannot see. After Dionysus set tigers upon Amethystos, he wept, his rage transmuted into wine-colored tears that stained the girl Artemis had turned to stone. It's how amethyst got their color, how my memory, the one I keep trying to send into flight, was stained. Rage, an apology, the egret, a white flag, thin throat, thin song. It's impossible to hear egret without an echo. regret. My thoughts are scattering like sandpipers. I am falling out of reason. The birds are losing their feathers. The wind is forcing them to land. They are waving like flags, like surrender, like egrets, feet planted in thick mud.
That was Barbara Tran reading from her book, Precedented Parroting. And we featured her in season 3 of the Listen and Be Heard Hour. So you can find more conversation and poetry from Barbara if you check our archives at listenandbeheard.net, which you are very welcome to do. I want to thank our special guest today, Soumya Chaudhry, and my co-producer, Hernan Ramiro Rodriguez Sierra, and all of the voices and people who contribute to this program. We are looking forward to welcoming 2 new interns here next week, high school seniors in their final semester. And that's exciting. So we hope to be bringing you those youthful voices in front of as well as behind the mic. And perhaps you would also like to participate in some way or other. And we do welcome producers who want to contribute interviews or reviews or, I don't know, pitch us your idea. And we also welcome your submissions of written poetry, which we do post on the website, as well as your audio poetry for this show, which is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, which is brought to you by the Listen and Be Heard Network. And I happen to be the executive producer. And we are privileged to be a project of Sound System Culture, Inc., which you can go learn more about at soundsystemculture.world. This is the voice of Laura Langnick, author of Resilient Agriculture.
We're not going to solve climate change if you buy a certain kind of cereal, you know, a climate smart cereal, or really even any sort of a brand that's saying, you know, impossible meat or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to take more than consuming certain products to
that's sort of the elephant in the room, isn't it? I mean, when we look, it's more that we have to change the structure of how we live.
I think that's true. Yes, we do.
And as people together, and not just ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that second action is just to say, in order to solve this, we're going to have to work together to change our behavior, not change our brand.
Thanks, as always, to Daveen Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas, KHOI in Ames, Iowa, and KFOI in Red Bluff, California, and other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network for cultivating the audio garden in your communities, and our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.